Well, hi everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Godcast. My name is Father Alex. I'm the Vicar of St. Matthew's Church in Burnley. I am the host of the Godcast. I'm also the author of this book, Our Daily Bread from Argos to the Altar. My guest on the Godcast today is Chris Brass. Now, Chris is currently working behind the scenes at Nottingham Forest, but he had a long career with Burnley and amongst many clubs. He played for Bury and York City. And we're going to have a chat about his career in the game. So I do hope you enjoy this Godcast now. If you do, there are lots of sporting figures to watch and listen to. Many footballers, including former England international Trevor Stephen and Paul Stewart, who both played for Burnley. Former captain of Wales, Kevin Ratcliffe. Former Scotland legend and Man United and Celtic footballer, striker, Lou Macari. So there are lots of footballers for you to check out. But for now, I hope you enjoy this interview with myself and Chris Brass on this episode of the Godcast.
Yep.
Well, I'm delighted to say that joining me on the Godcast this week is Chris Brass. Chris, it's fabulous to get you on the Godcast. How are you doing?
Very well. Thanks, Alex. Thanks for having me.
And for people who haven't seen you around the football, you know, the front face of football, I guess, tell us what you're doing these days.
Yeah, so working at Nottingham Forest, and it's across a plethora of different roles, but at this moment it's kind of working alongside some of the younger players. They've gone into different kind of loan strategies, etc. And it's making sure their pathways are on track, still linking in with ultimately what I was brought in to do with the recruitment arm. So at this moment and conjecture, that's kind of just what I'm doing a little bit more of.
So perhaps a good place to start as we have a little trip down memory lane. How is it different to when you started out as a kid?
I think potentially we get an awful lot more. And with that is probably a little bit more expectation. I think certainly if I go back on my career, as you went into secondary school, there was more notice. There were scouts. You went into district sides, county sides, national sides, and that progressed into going into a club, which you couldn't officially sign until you were 14. Whereas I think now from pre-academy, certainly from a six-year-old, you can be affiliated with a club, and how that looks and maps out. There's not many, unfortunately, statistically, will come through. However, it's still everybody's dream. There's bits of it that I like. There's bits of it that I think just gives a little bit of false hope, as I say. But it's ultimately, it's still, in my opinion, the ones who strongly want it, the ones who really have levels of talent that will just take them into different realms, still come through. But I think you navigate the courses a little bit better. I think what has improved is certainly an appreciation of the mental health aspect, and that level of support. There was nothing wrong with tough love, but there was probably, that's all there was as we came through. But no, it's, I think the pleasing aspect is it's still producing, facilities and etc. have certainly gone to another level. But again, you do find certainly at a Cat 1 Premier League academy like ourselves, as you kind of walk them into the first team, they've been used to certain elements. And I think sometimes, like I did at 17, going to Torquay on loan, no sat navs, no mobile phones, just get there and make sure you get there on time. You were just left your own devices. Whereas,
yeah, Chris, I was a footy ref in the 90s, and people who follow the Godcast might not even know, but I used to do trials matches down at Gawthorpe. Do you think some of your young lads would cope with the tough love that was on offer in those days now?
I think some would, but I'll probably, in isolation with ourselves, bizarrely Warren Joyce has joined us here, who were played with at Burnley and worked with at Man United. So it, I think he gives elements of preparing them for what is involved. So I think as I say, in isolation with ourselves. I think there is elements of that, but it is certainly designed so they cope with the challenges. The strong-mindedness of individuals who do come through kind of find the way. But as I say, even as you go into the management aspect, I think there are support mechanisms around your help. I think it's why, as players, the dressing rooms, when they are tight, are successful, because you do look out for each other, to the point where players who were apprentices with ourselves, you'd still reach out to them. You know, in times of adversity, like every relationship, as we all move into different parts of your life and families, etc. Obviously, you go down that, but there's certainly lads who I had careers with who are the first to pick up the phone. Sometimes away from football, obviously, but we've supported each other, probably more in a personal aspect. You know, that people don't see, they just think we're footballers and we don't actually have a life beyond this. But even, you know, where we met Alex, it's a small world, but actually meeting in the local church as my family grew up and being connected to it, I think it's, people don't see that element of you. They just see you at 3 o'clock, as it was 3 o'clock, not a Friday night or a Saturday or Sunday, silly hour. But that's all they thought you were. You just played for Burnley or a respective team and off you went. So, I think players would be used to it and be able to handle it. But as I say, I think it would certainly be tougher for them to come through. We probably found our solace in each other as teammates.
Yeah. And what was it that got you to Burnley, Chris? I mean, there was a good link, wasn't there, between Burnley and the North East? How did it come about you? How did it come about you getting to turf?
Came bizarrely in the 80s when Frank Casper just took over with Mick Doherty, and it wasn't far just before actually the Orient game. And you do the rounds with a number of clubs. I actually ironically ended up away from here with Ipswich, which couldn't get much farther away from the Northeast. But again, they had a good affiliation with the Northeast. Got promised a scholarship and pro and things, which was on the table, which again, still gets offered. But as managers change and the club changes, they went down a different route and find yourself looking for another club. But the time I can remember spending at Burnley and my grandad and father were present, it was actually the hospitality we received, the warmth of people coming into the town for the first time. And still remember granddad getting a Benny and hot, and that was it. He was hooked. As you come through, and probably a harsh lesson of football, that you shouldn't take anything for granted, kind of made me step back and think, hold on, they really looked after me. There was a personable aspect to what they were trying to achieve. The youth team coach at the time, Harry Wilson, ironically came from the same mining village in the northeast that I was from. So he certainly did treat us with tough love, and there was, for all people would say, there was elements of favouritism towards me. I think it was just because of performances, but actually he probably treated me as harshly, if not the harshest, out of the group. So that was real reason. I just thought, you'll find your way within this industry. But I just felt it was the right place. And thankfully, Frank Casper was still the manager, formed relationships within the town. Chris, his son, was at Man United at the time. We went to college together. It felt right. It really did. And I think that was really my calling to come to Burnley rather than turn down, as it was then, League One clubs and Premier League clubs, and kind of take a different journey in respect of what I was trying to achieve moving forward there for me.
Yeah. Incidentally, Chris Casper has been a guest on the Godcast. It's a really interesting one. Guys want to check that one out. And in that group of yours, Chris, how many guys made it? You know, I mean, I remember reffing, and I used to watch some of you lads play and think, gosh, to me, with the with maybe an untrained eye, I used to think, gosh, these lads are brilliant, but pretty tough, isn't it? How many from your peer group made it? Can you remember?
Yeah, there was quite a few did come through in respect of that group, which again, when you look at the numbers, we were quite a strong group. And I don't know whether it was that age group or, you know, even from the national team, as you filter back, there was a strong bit. But who started out and had careers, there was Paul Weller, John Mullen within that group, and then Paul Smith below that, who actually served the apprenticeship, who actually went on and represented the club. Might have to check and be remiss if I have missed somebody, but it was a strong group, and an awful lot who arguably could have got pros. I think at the time we didn't take on an abundance of players, but I even remember in the age group above with Neil Howarth, who then went on to play and manage and actually work alongside me at a couple of clubs. So yeah, there was a lot within that group that was strong, and you know, again, without missing anybody off, Andrew Lawson, who was local, who was friends with Chris, was a good player. Again, went on to have a good career, albeit elements of that non-league, but there wasn't a great deal of difference between us all. Little bits of luck, little bits of some players will want it. I think that was a standout. I really did want it. I did whatever it possibly took to keep progressing, and I was just fortunate that I kept on that linear path of constantly progressing, working my way through, being fortunate enough to go to Torquay, have a successful loan, come straight back, go straight into the first team, and manage to keep it. Wayne Dowell, who came down with me, had a bad injury. Again, he was on track. We both joined the club at the same time. Bizarrely, all stayed local.
Yeah. And then you go on to play for some quite high-profile managers in Burnley's career. You know, did you work under Jimmy Mullen for a while, Chris?
Jimmy obviously followed Frank. And again, first lesson being at a club where you see managerial change, caretaker takes it, and then fortunately that he got the results and the run of games, etc. And the rest, as I say, is history. So yeah, that, I think the pleasing aspect was being part of seeing Burnley turn, you know, this huge club really stuck in a position that was, in my opinion, false, and then being part of actually turning that around, and as I say, with the respective managers that I work with, all had a part in the history of actually seeing it improve. And I think that was a pleasing part, because I think once you become affiliated with a club, as I still am, still live in the area, went back working there when Sean was manager, and you still want the club to do well. I don't think you can ever come away from that. I'm not too sure every single player feels that anymore. It is a job while you're at that club, absolutely a professional. But as I say, I don't think you get the affiliation which a lot of us did have at that time. So we were quite comfortable that we did. And as you alluded prior to us coming on here, that they have a number of ex-clubs who play, unfortunately, health reasons, I couldn't. But yeah, I have turned out, and we all do whatever we can do.
Yeah. Can you just say a bit about what it's like for a player, Chris, when a new manager comes in and a new manager goes out? I mean, you played for Adrian Heath, didn't you? And you played for Chris Waddle and Stan as well for a period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're three big footballing names, aren't they? Three strong characters. Can you just say what it was like maybe playing for those respective managers?
Yeah, I think you, as a managerial changes, it's difficult, because you can't help but have a personal relationship with them. The fact that I was in the side while these changes happen as well, I think you sometimes feel responsible, but you obviously got to be quite professional and quick to understand that there's been changes. So you've got to quickly try and win games, ultimately. And I think with each one kind of aided you in respect to your development. whether that be the managers or sometimes the support staff. Having played with Adrian, quickly comes in, huge expectations. You know, as a youngster coming into the side, he would just whinge if you didn't actually put the ball within 1 inch of where he wanted it. I think it's because he didn't want to run about as much as he used to. But nonetheless, you saw just how high he played at such an elite level, and he expected that, and he demanded that. And I think working alongside John Ward, who was a fantastic sort of development coach, he got that nucleus of the young group that I spoke about doing well, and the kind of guys who'd come through the system, and then bringing in Glenn Littles and Andy Cooks, still of a young age, who did buy into what Burnley was and the area, as I say, lived local. We all kind of grew together, and you put in the mix some of the more experienced players who you forged relationships as we went through the leagues, with David Ayres and Peter Swans, Jamie Hoyland, you know, even as we grew up, John Dearies, Roger Elies, John Pender, John Francis, they didn't let you rest. They knew what, probably saw a little bit of potential within us, but pushed us as well. But I think if you ask them, as I say, they're slightly older, we pushed them because they knew, you know, I had to, if I was going to get into the side past an Ian Meacham or a Gary Parkinson, I had to be on my A game in order to try and get past them. So there's elements where they helped you, but there was elements where I'm sure they, right, you know, just try and keep us in our box. But that sort of internal competitiveness did breed. I think when Chris did come, it certainly created a lot of noise. He's a fantastic player. Real good football brain. Didn't get the results or didn't get it across in all aspects. But having moved into the realms of management, I think you understand, even to him, a lot of firsts, a lot of news. You do forget it's a different career perspective. And then putting that across into the team, albeit at the turn of the year when we went on the fantastic run and managed to stay in the division, arguably the form could have took us into different things. But again, changed in the summer. And then I think Stan really took us to the elements, the levels, put a little bit of what Burnley is into us all. And then you did not come away from that football club not understanding what Burnley was. Stan really cemented, because he knew it. He still lived in the area. He'd come through the same journey as what I had, really, come from the Northeast playing there. He wasn't leaving that football club without us in a much, much better order than when he arrived. And I think he arguably was the catalyst for where they are now. You know, and I don't say that lightly.
No, I remember those days, and I remember I've been a season ticket holder most of my life. I remember there was a crowd just around 3,000 on the turf, and Burnley were in a bit of a mess. And then Stan came in, and Chris, I want to ask you what it is about Burnley and Stan particularly. I spoke to Jamie Hoyland, who really made me laugh, because he was talking about Gawthorpe, and he said, you know, it was Gawthorpe. And it were cold and it were damp and it were grim, but it were our damp and it were our grim, you know. Mm. And there was something really like earthly and warm about that. And then when I've spoke to people about Stan, you know, he was unique. And I listened to other podcasts where the characterization of Stan goes from one extreme to the other. Just tell us what it was really about the club that Stan's presence changed there while you were with him.
Well, when I spoke about the warmth and the feeling you get when you come into Burnley, not just as a club, but as a town, I think he understood that. And he made sure anybody who come and represented that shirt understood that. So he knew that some of the fans would find their season ticket money, but they might not be able to pay for food to put on the table, but they would still have a Burnley shirt on. You walk around Burnley now and you'll still see kids walking about in Burnley shirts. Not of Liverpool, not of United, not of, which in respect to any other kind of town or city within the club, you don't see that. And again, what Jamie alluded to, you go into Cawthorpe and it is yours. There's a stamp that actually makes everybody as one. If you're fortunate to feel it within the town and get promotions and go out, it doesn't happen. You go off into cities now and they'll not feel it. You have open top buses and things like that, but I'm not convinced you get that coming together as players, as staff, as fans, as a town. It doesn't happen very often. It doesn't burn me. And as I say, it's why I've never wanted to leave.
Yeah.
It's somewhere I'm comfortable bringing my family up with.
And now you work for Notts Forest, Chris. Is Burnley still very special to you as a club?
Yeah, it is. I think what I found challenging was coming back, enjoying working back at the club, being offered a different challenge, which really was going to put me outside my comfort zone. That was a challenge, having to go to Sean Dyche and support Matt Williams and Martin Hodge in depth at the club. But they respected it. I could have sat and gone along on the crest and dined out on the fact that you've been at Burnley, you are Burnley. Bizarrely needed a new challenge point. And I think that's what you want. And if you are professional, you understand it was a fantastically well-oiled machine when Sean got it in there with sustaining Premier League status. He probably needed a change. And again, you can only converse that, but he has done. And he's continuing to show, you know, how well he can now perform at other clubs. So as I said, bringing that into other elements, I think there's certain elements that you will bring, whether it's managerial roles, coaching roles, recruitment roles, head of football roles that I've done. You bring a little element of what you actually had at Burnley into this environment, and there's no secret recipe because every one is different, every city is different, every town. But you do feel it. That's one thing you feel at Forest. Having come as a player, it was a tough place to come. It was a tough place to come and manage with. But when you get inside it, and actually pre-game, it in the same token, you get that feeling. I still do when I drive up to Burnley games. I get those hairs on the arms go up, and I think, great, man, you're not playing. Relax. But you feel that with inside here as well. And I think that's quite good that you feel welcomed again. If I feel that, that's almost cements my career decision. And I do feel that here, the warmth that you feel as you come into a club and you think, okay, there's a lot of untapped potential here, and it still is. It's not easy. But if you see at the rate of knots in the 3 years I've been here, how the club's progressed, and hopefully continues to do so, there's a lot of unfinished business. It's not to say it's not unfinished at Burnley.
No, it never is.
As I say, you can never say never.
No.
But no, as I say, I'm quite comfortable in my own skin that whatever decisions along the way I've made are correct for me and my family.
And it shouldn't be unforgotten, Chris, that you left Burnley and you actually played, I think you played for York City more times than you did for the Clarets. Is that right?
I think I did as it went on, and again, tough decision to leave, but I just, for the first time, found myself not playing as regular. Stan was honest enough to sort of say, stay, and you'll come back in, but I don't know, I just in my head was thinking, it's a short career, I just want to continue to play. Bizarrely, as it happened, becoming player manager at 26, I think that has helped the future career. So as you think that there's only life within football as a player, I think that certainly aided me into other positions. It was tough because, again, you're not prepared. And the lack of experience that I had was a challenge. But as I say, when I can reflect on it now, and it was great learning. But at the time, it certainly didn't feel like that. Probably what I alluded to earlier in this interview was that I didn't have a levels of support around me, didn't have someone who I could have lent in on. Previous managers were good, but with respect, the previous manager I'd worked with was still in work. So Stan's helped, but is could he help? Well, no, he's still got enough of his own business going on with Burnley at the time. But he always has. He always has picked up the phone and offered help. And hey, well done, you've done this or that. Trust me, he's rang me up a couple of times. I went, "What the hell are you doing?" puts me in my place. But no, respect that. He does look out still for all of us and vice versa. So yeah, it is a big thing in that respect.
Yeah, all the guys I've had on it have spoke about Stan. They just hold him in the highest esteem for what he did and what he was, and I think that's felt across the town, really, Chris, isn't it? I think, and then you go and join Bury, which is a club where Burnley and Bury, there's a lot of links, aren't there? Going right back to when I was a kid, like Martin Dobson and players like that, and obviously that's gone through. Stan was there, wasn't he? Frank Casper was there. And then you got to Bury. What was it like to see Bury kind of collapse as it did, Chris? Was that quite heartbreaking for you?
Yeah, I think the bizarrely, when Stan was the manager there, he tried to persuade us to leave Burnley on a couple of occasions, and a few of us, and that was kind of your first interaction with him. But it's another familiar club, albeit it doesn't have the same realms of support as what Burnley has, but it has a strong history being a former club. What I enjoyed was a little bit of the link between Burnley, but also that they produced players, and that was part of the reasoning behind going. Chris was the manager. I knew what he had gone through being a young manager, and he'd had to finish through his career. So there was elements that you could help there. He had a good young squad, so you can pass on that experience. Is it the changing of the guard, as I spoke about some of those previous players at Burnley who helped me go on my journey? Then you were trying to pass that on, and that was an element while I played there, then went to become the academy manager, and I think I had every role at Bury in the end. But again, it was part of my learning, and really, really good people. That was the thing that hurt me more than anything. It should never have been put in a situation that affected people's lives like it did. It's a football club. Granted, a football club can leave, but I think the one aspect you do appreciate as a player or as a member of staff at some clubs, you are kind of brought in, and you should be custodians to keep that club in a correct manner, because people who are there, like yourself, Alex, you'll never leave your club. It's Burnley. Whereas with ourselves, we do professionally work for other clubs, but that's an element I've always tried to keep, is understand the people here, the supporters here, they will be through thick and thin, and they still are. They're still, but you know, Bury will rise again, and still people there who have come through it. And I almost walked away from it, from football, because how it ended and things that may or may come out, some will remain private, but some of the things I did do to try and save that football club, and people didn't, it really disappointed me, and I lost a lot of faith in actually the world of football from that, to the point where I did seriously consider walking away, because people shouldn't be allowed anywhere near in order for what happened. And as I said, it did, that certainly did affect me personally, but there still is more good people within the game than what there is, sadly, it shouldn't be.
Yeah. And just to finish off, Chris, I mean, Forest are, well, they're keeping their head above water just about at the moment. The likes of Burnley and Sheffield United aren't really putting much pressure on. When you look at the Notts Forest first team, are you excited what the future holds? And also, if you could say something about Vincent's strategy at Burnley to maybe go with the young lads for a first term in the Premiership. I mean, there's clearly some very talented footballers there, Chris, but they're quite raw and inexperienced. Do you think the strategy might serve them well in the long term?
I think you'd hope in the longer term that there'd be levels of learning right the way through. I think from experience of joining here and seeing that we got in, albeit 12 months ago, and the manager, he had to concede a certain element that probably went against his full philosophy, but it was in respect of how he would win games of football, how he would keep the club in. And I thought that was great from the manager. But also the club kind of evolved, and you've got to learn very, very quickly. Certainly at this level, it's unrewarding. And by no stretch of the imaginations are we the finished article, but we are striving to continue that. And I think the foundations need to be in place that will keep it moving forward. I hope that in respect to Burnley, they do learn. They're not out of it by any stretch of the any imagination. And there's an awful lot that can happen between now and the end of the season that it can get tipped upside down. So it's I think all you can do is look to the next game, keep on doing. There's a sort of a mini season within itself. And you know, we are involved in that here at Forest. So it's I think as long as you keep the bigger picture, you'll always end up getting to where you do. I think in my time in football, you do find levels. Arguably, Forest have been out of the Premier League for such a long period, which no one has a divine right to be there. But I think with the size of the city, the support mechanisms, the history, I think it's a welcome addition. But you can't take it for granted. You know, and we've got to fight. And I think that's the element where Burnley will just keep fighting to the end. See where it takes you. I think we used to stay when in the period back with Sean. Sean had a good kind of ethos around how he did things and what he expected. And yes, Gawthorpe with hours, as you said back in the day, but I thought he put the new stamp on it. Mm. And he knew what the hearts and minds and everything was and felt, and I thought it did encapsulate what Burnley is. I don't think you never come away from that. I think Burnley will always be that, and I think it's important that it does never come away from not just what Burnley Football Club, but is what Burnley is. And as I say, I think you should learn about your club. You should learn about the history. I know, yes, it has evolved. We don't have the mills, etc. But I'm fully aware of what Burnley is. And I think, as I said, not alluding to where Stan was, but Stan made you feel that. You should. And once you become part of that, I'm afraid you're locked in. And that's it. And then, yeah. But why change? Why come away from that?
Yeah.
I think it's helped in a bizarre way. I think it helped keep the club in the division. When you look back to that Orient game, that togetherness, that coming together. But I also think it'll continue to keep the club where it is. And it's not easy. This industry is very, very tough, and you don't hide behind that. But I do. That's my belief. I think if Burnley doesn't lose its values as a town and as a football club, it'll rise. It'll keep where it needs to get to.
Well, I'm determined it will not lose our values. I work in quite a harsh part of town, and I love it. I love the authenticity of the people and the characters and the say as you see it kind of mentality, which you see on Turf Moor week in, week out. That's what makes the club. Chris, it's been brilliant chatting to you. What do you like to do when you're not? You touched on it earlier about away from football. What do you do to let off steam, get away from it all?
I think the element that you need to get right is that it's the family values. I've been very protective of not allowing the family and football to collide, but I think I'm fortunate that I've had the profession and we're blessed with having a lot of things that we can actually go on and do. But I think it's how you can switch off. Is to be in environments that people wouldn't necessarily think that you were. As I said, to have a cup of tea with yourself at St Thomas's was arguably quite nice. That we spoke on a level as people, but you were probably there wanting to ask a million and one questions about Burnley, which you did eventually get around to. But I thought that was nice. You didn't you in this football world, I'm known as Brassy. When I stepped into that environment, I was Chris. And I was a father, and I was, you know, and that was the bits that, as I said, you've probably seen me in a different light to what others have. So that I like to kind of go into that other element of, you know, blending into a family environment and getting put in my place, you'd say. Probably is a bit more often than I do within this environment. But yeah, it is my downtime. It is something that I've struggled with over the years, is finding that balance. But I like to think, certainly with a couple of personal things of recent years, I'm getting better at. But
it just comes with old age, doesn't it? I think it does.
Yeah. You like to think we're still Peter Pan and we can still continue, but I think and it is. I think it's experiences. I think it good and bad. I think they do shape us continually. You know, I just recently lost my father. I think it who followed me every single game and loved Burnley as well. I think it does just makes you take stock and just realise, well, I've been fortunate that he's been able to follow my journey and see how it's gone. Leaving that he didn't want me to leave the Northeast as a 15-year-old, but fortunate that I come into a horse family who took on the mantle and probably, you know, Alan and Val who took me in. Val probably refined me probably more into the older person who I did become. It was quite a few rough edges, as you say. And she did. She also kept me on track to what I needed to be a footballer. So, you know, my parents were forever thankful that I went into an environment where it can't be easy to be passed over to someone else's, almost like foster parents. But yeah, I was very fortunate that that helped as well. So when I talk about support mechanisms, arguably that was my biggest support mechanism as I moved.
It's interesting. Sorry, I was gonna wind it up, but it's really interesting what you're saying. You know, because people call me Father Alex at church. I don't think of myself as in that capacity, but I think just being of an older age. I mean, I'm thinking a bit older than you. I'm 55. Younger people, and you'll certainly see this in your context as football. They do see you as a fatherly role. You know, they do see you as somebody who can offer wisdom or encouragement. You know, and just what you just said about your dad, which I was sorry to hear. You know, you'll have passed that on. You must have passed that on to thousands of footballers, Chris.
Yeah, I think you do realise that you are out there. As I say, you have to behave in a certain way. You know, because of those, as I say, those values. You certainly even more so now with social media. I think you're scrutinised tenfold. Mm. But as I certainly transitioned from a player into a coach and the management aspect, I think you do realise in society today where quite a lot of the young players, and be that boys and girls now as they come through, don't have a father figure sometimes within their life. So you're not stepping into anybody's space, but there's certain voids where you can help. And I think that's important. You know, that you can kind of give them the right guidance and keep them all on your way. But certainly the managers that I've been fortunate enough to play under, I think that's the element that they did. You almost become family. Mm. And you become an extended son. And they'll still look out for you, as I do. And I find it bizarre even now that you'll get players come up to you and they call you gaffer and you kind of think, it's just out of respect. And whether they still ring and get advice, you offer it. But as I said, it's exactly what I used to do. Reach out. Is this the right decision? Is it not? You bounce it off someone and then ultimately follow your gut instinct to take you where you go.
Yeah. Good stuff. Chris, I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. It's been great. I like a trip down memory lane. I remember when you were a half-decent footballer.
That's a few moons ago. You know, do you know what you've done? You're probably the first time Alex has never mentioned the own goal, so I'm going to throw it out there, but we won't discuss it. You'll have to get me on. That'll be a whole new plethora of something else. But no, it's been refreshing. I've really enjoyed it. And it's been nice to catch up with you again.
Thanks so much. And we'll maybe catch up at the turf sometime.
No, I'd look forward to it. Thank you, Alex.